Ecclesiastes 4. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing. It's plugged up in the bathroom. In Jesus' name. So I left off a few Sundays ago. And I remember making a statement like this. You got to learn how to practice your faith. Remember that? And therein lies most of our problems. Is that, she good. I think so. Just leave it right there just in case. No, she not good. We're not practicing our faith. And when you don't practice your faith, faith is spiritual. A lot of stuff ain't going to work. Nothing is more frustrating, I think, than being in church and frustrated. You know what I mean? No, you don't? Okay. One of the things you gotta embrace is this: is that every Sunday, I ain't preaching your sermon. So, what should you do? You should go online, our website. It is there. I guarantee you it's there. I guarantee you it is there someplace. Almost like, because there's no way God could have sent you here, and then there's nothing to edify or help you. The problem is most of our relationship stops when we leave here. Now, common sense will tell you that we ain't got enough time to clean up everything for everybody. But we do preach enough to help you. Now, what we're going to endeavor to do this week, the next few weeks, the next month or so, is talk on, teach on the practicality, how you put it to work. Amen? You interested in that? And we're going to deal with a whole bunch of things. Tonight, we're going to deal with but really only two of the questions that you sent. Everything else will kind of be tailored to those over the next few weeks. So you got to come, right? I mean, no, it ain't the same online. Ecclesiastes 4 and 12. Okay, I'll just pull it up because it starts talking off about a cord of three strands is not easily broken. We're talking about marriage tonight. The lesson is going to be strengthening the covenant, practicing faith in marriage. Now, I got to warn you that if you're working and your spouse ain't, it's going to be a little bit more challenging. It just is. If you're actively engaged in trying to change, it's going to be difficult if y'all ain't trying to change at the same time. When I say change to be better, it's going to be hard. It is still doable. It's still doable. And so you shouldn't get discouraged if your partner is Can you tell if a person is saved? Can you tell if a person is saved and delivered? How could you tell? Yeah. So If your partner isn't saved, or they're saved and they're not delivered, it's still going to be challenging. So the first thing, if they're not saved, the first thing you need to do is pray they get saved. Because you married, but you're still unequally yoked. Okay? You're married, but you're still unequally yoked. If they are saved and not delivered, I'm trying to show you, this is practical. You know how to position your prayer. Don't be asking God to change them and you ain't asked God to save them. Because you know get no change. Okay? You're not going to get no change. Because if they could have changed, they would have changed 50 fights and arguments ago. So if they confess salvation and they're not delivered, now you start in the arena of praying and holding them accountable in areas where you can help them. When I say holding accountable, that's not bossing them around. That is repulsive. That's going to turn into a nasty argument. But if you get past that, you got to embrace Ecclesiastes 4:12, a cord of three strands. You, your husband, and your neighbor. You, your husband, and your mama. Your daddy, your grandmama. You, your husband, you, your wife, and God. And he'll help you hold it together. So the thing I'm emphasizing tonight is marriage is a covenant. And you don't get to just leave because you're mad. That makes you something else. It's a union between two people and God. That's what makes the covenant sacred. And what I'm noticing is that let me just go through this, and then I don't want to tie up too much time. It's a partnership that only thrives when faith is involved, when it's rooted in faith. It's not going to thrive without that. So we're going to look at how to practice faith in marriage. You got to say practice faith in marriage. Because I promise you, it ain't a shout. It might turn into a shouting match, getting delivered from a shouting match, but it ain't that. It's not running. It's work. Now, what I told Co-Pastor this is that, because we've been doing this for a minute, it don't make us no expert. But we done it longer than you. So most of you anyway. So what that means is that you still have to practically apply stuff, because your marriage really, truthfully, ain't no more difficult or worse than anybody else's in the room. Somebody just putting in work. If you ain't putting in no work, you don't get no change. So like now, if there's something between a husband and a wife and she talking about leaving, I'm not talking her down. I talk my woman down. You talk your woman down. Amen. Oh, my. I'm not apologizing for you. Me no do nothing to her. You did. If he wants to leave and you instigated it, you talk him down. Right? You better borrow your neighbor baby face. Something. I'll pay your rent. I used to work that girl over with that song. So, covenant deepens the bond in your relationship. When you practicing your faith, I'm going to ask some pointed questions tonight, and I'm going to ask people directly. And don't lie in church. Because I want people to see, because many of you left 2 weeks ago and you thought the message was wrong. Usually if God give me a couple days, I figure out why he had me preach it. And it typically ain't one or two people. So no way he had me up here saying people not practicing their faith, and then I'm crazy. No, we're not doing it. So, like, if you don't practice your faith in your marriage in private, everything you do in public, Jesus said that's a hypocrite. He's talking about a person praying, right? They don't pray in private, but when they get in public, they want to get the biggest platform and they want to announce and show how people how deep they are. He said they're hypocrite. Amen. So it's hypocritical to come to the altar and ask somebody to pray for your marriage and then get in the car and go home and do the same stuff again. That's not a mental relapse. That's you not putting in work. Now, remember, because some of you will take it all the way to the left. I'm pointing to the right, but I'm saying left. You may be putting in work, but you keep forgetting all the stuff that's being taught. Your spouse may not be saved or delivered. So you got to pray the right type of prayers first. You have to war spiritually first to get that person delivered. Because if not, everything else we do in here is kind of in vain. Amen. Oh, my. So, number one, this is my first point, and then I'm going to let co-pastor chime. You got anything before I go? Go ahead.
So, as we're talking about the threefold cord, and it's not easily broken, just think about when you got married. Like, we're totally opposite people. He was raised his way. I was raised my way. Amen. He had his parents in his home. I had just a grandparent. I grew up Church of God in Christ. He grew up Baptist. I think they went to church maybe twice a Sunday, I believe. So with that being said, and you get married and you become one, don't belittle or take away because now you're living more godly than your spouse may be living. And he's not doing the things that you know need to take place.
Why are you pointing at me?
Because you're my spouse. So it's going to be a night, y'all. So anyway, with that being said, once you came in, you're getting delivered. You're getting set free. You hear the word of God, and you're applying the things of God. And it doesn't seem as if your spouse is getting the same as you're getting. You don't get to go home and belittle him. Or you don't get to go home and talk about what a man is doing for his spouse in the church because you're not following them home. So you don't know actually what is going on. Y'all still grow together. And if you're the more of the saved one, that's where you become the praying person. And you begin to pray. You ain't got to throw out all his flaws and all his wrongdoings and bring everything to the forefront of what he's not doing right. Give him his accolades, what he's doing that is right. And the more you come in and you begin to let him see Jesus, he'll want Jesus. But if he see you act in a totally different way outside of the home than what you are in the home, and you're not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, then you're taken away, and that spouse may never come to God. So remember, get it for yourself, and don't beat up either woman nor male because you feel like you're getting it better or more than he is or she is.
And you can lose a whole bunch of ground that you gain with your partner in an argument. They was almost convinced. And then they start poking you to see. Now let me add some balance to that. Sometimes people will make you act out of character because they just keep going. But I'm talking about when you don't have to. Like you could have went to the bedroom. You still had dishes in the dishwasher. Go start dishwashing.
Let me say this. Everything that happens, it doesn't afford an argument. Yeah. Let me tell y'all, something can blow up and it could be 7 o'clock in the morning. He may not hear about it until 9:30 that night. I may not go, because you don't have to go, because in the heat of the moment, words are being said, stuff are being thrown out there that just don't even make any sense. And then you trying to, I apologize for talking like this. I'm sorry I talk like this. When you, because one, I was like that because I didn't want my children to see how a dysfunctional family could be, marriage could be. So I kept my words, but when they went to bed at night. Now, but because I've had most of that day to think about it, I can handle it better than I would have if I had immediately said something. So remember, everything does not afford an argument. And we have had words in front of them, but it's never to the point where they seem highly disrespect amongst each other.
I don't particularly like arguing, because I don't think that quick. So, like, I'm already 1,000 words behind. So then I have to say, like, dumb stuff, because I'm losing, like, real bad. So, brothers, if you like me, just make peace. Peace, brother. Peace. Peace, honey. Everybody look at somebody and say, can't we just all get along? So, because I don't think fast. But anyway, so one of the ways you're going to practice your faith in your marriage is everybody got to agree that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He got to be the strength in that place. And like a lot of things are not happening. Truth of it is, brother, if the brother is saved, it's kind of your fault. Because it's up to you to take the lead, right? Somewhere along the line, what's happened to men is that we want to lead in everything first but spiritual stuff. We want to control the money. We control this. We want to be in charge of that. We want to control the cars, the house. But when it comes down to a simple coming together for prayer, and we'll deal with that, say Jesus got to be the chief cornerstone. Jesus said that a house built on the rock, which is him, will stand firm in any storm. So a marriage built on the foundation of faith, it will withstand challenges. So when I see like people, a lot of time invested, and they just get divorced there's some stuff to qualify, like nothing. Like when you counsel them and you trying to tell them, you ain't got no grounds for divorce. I don't care. The Lord told me. Pretty sure it ain't in there. I done read it. So I'm not going to divorce my spouse. Because I'm mad. Surely I ain't that crazy.
Surely I ain't crazy at all.
Y'all just repeat anything. Repeat it to me. So,
also being mad could be a prideful thing. It's you're trying to win, so you're mad because you're trying to get your point across, and I need you to hear me, and so I'm gonna act this way until you do. Thank God for the husband I have, because I would pout. You know, he didn't care. You know, he didn't care if I pouted or not. So, and it grew me up in some areas that I knew that wasn't working. Let me try something else, you know, and you got to understand that spouses, what the trigger is, you're together as a team. You have to grow as a team. You're developing each other. It's like the first kid baseball game and they're up to bat. They're learning how to hit the ball. We're learning together how to grow in unison as one. And where one falls, the other one should be able to pick them up and help them along the way. Amen. With an understanding that that I'm not here to rule over you or tell you what to do, but we're here to work together as one. We're focusing on a life and a journey together. What can we do to make it better? You know, and those are conversations that we should be having as married couples so we can understand each other. You know, from two totally different backgrounds, you know. Go ahead.
Let me just say this. I grew up watching my parents or listening to them have heated arguments. He never leave the house. He never hit my mom. He never threatened to hit my mom. Vice versa. So, you know, I was one of those kids. I don't take snaps. So, what you know, when it's time for me to shut it down, I'm going to shut it down. So, technically, I could go to sleep and they may still be arguing. And when I got up in the morning, they sitting right there drinking coffee. They practice this scripture. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. No, none of these two-day, three-day, four-day weeks fits. None of that. I didn't witness none of that. So I come into marriage already. I'm already preconditioned not to leave. This is the God's truth. Watching my father, like, you know, if I wasn't dating somebody, you know, whatever. But when I was dating somebody, I didn't run around. I didn't believe in running around on women. So that kind of transcend into my marriage. So if you find a guy or a girl that was like that, or you got them and they was with somebody and they ran around on that person, they already have a predisposed weakness. They're probably going to do that to you, even when you get married. So you can't just pack up now because that's the way you got them. You bought that like that. So you got to work through some of that stuff because that's the way they showed up. And you knew it. So I'm not sure why people are fascinated with people that every man in the community is fascinated with. Y'all can have her. I'm not sure why you would want anybody to want to stand in line and wait for somebody. Y'all can have him. And because you're in the distance, you have to be really strong because he'll make you his project just to prove to a group of people that he could do it or she could do it. But if you know the weakness is there, why won't you? The point being, I was always conditioned like this. I really didn't wait. I tried as a man, I didn't really want to waste my time on a woman that I knew I didn't have no future with. First of all, because AIDS was everywhere. They done scared me to death. I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. AIDS was everywhere. They didn't have no cure either. People just dying. So I'm like, nah, y'all good. I'm good over here. I'm good. Deuces. So what does Christ being at the center of a family in your marriage or your marriage look like? What does that look like?
Before answering that question, this is good as well as for the singles. Us being married, you know, we didn't have or understood what it took for marriage. Only the grace of God has kept us this long. Amen. But for your singles, write down those hard questions that you want to ask when you're dating. Amen. So you won't go in not knowing what this individual is like. And pay attention to everything. Because they'll lie, they'll say this, and then when they get you, it's totally opposite than what they're bringing to the table. So pay attention at all times. And I was telling Pastor Woodson, the singles never, if you're a single and you're in the household of God and you love Jesus Christ, there's nothing wrong with you dating, but don't give up Jesus Christ for anyone. because he comes first, and allow him to do so. And when you put him first, he'll add those things unto you. Amen. So we got to remove our fleshly nature when it comes to the singleness and allow God to give you what you need. Write down what you expect out of a man, and don't ever expect something from a man nor a woman that you ain't doing for yourself. Because then they'll have something on you, and I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing that for you, and no, I could do it for myself. I don't need you to do anything. Amen? So pay attention to that, because then you'll become the money man or the money woman or whatever it may be, and they have no intentions being with you. I was talking with my son, and he's in Texas, and he's a property manager of an apartment complex. And he says when this young lady, born in 89, came in to apply for the apartment, it was her, a baby, and a guy. Well, he's evicting her now. So I don't know how many months later. 8 kids. Born in 89, she has 8 children. And the neighbors is telling him that she don't even stay there. The kids stay there. The oldest is 16. He said the youngest may be 3 or 4. She's staying over with a man somewhere else. So I was like, Dwayne, this is why I do what I do. Because people like that. And, you know, we went down this road. But don't become a victim. And understand who you are and how valuable you are. And don't give in to the hype. Amen. Amen. Let God direct you the right way. Amen.
So just to let you know what we're going to cover, we're going to go through some stuff in there tonight. We're going to answer some questions. Most of them are going to be linked to like unforgiveness and things like that, disputes. We're going to cover intimacy in marriage. That's not tonight. We're going to deal with some stuff with singles. We're not going to leave the singles out. Every question that I got, we're going to answer it. We will deal with children in the family, and even as how they grow, how do you handle that? And the practicality, if applied in your life through the Spirit, it will work for you. But let me just caveat that. If you are saved and you're dating an unsaved man, he's going to pressure you for sex. Period. If you're a saved man, and that woman is unsaved, definitely she has a child. You know she's already had sex. The lion is out of the cage. She's going to pressure you in the area of sex. So if that's your weakness, and if you're not strong, you're going to give in. And then I'm going to sense it. And then I'm going to preach on it. And then you're going to be looking funny in the face, thinking somebody messing with you. But really, it's God convicting you. And after a period of you ignoring it, he going to lift from you. He going to turn you over to self. And then whatever that man or that woman do to you, that happened because you've ignored everything that God tried to do to prevent it. Even though the Bible is clear, because you're not going to clean him up. You're not going to clean her up. There's a specific reason why he say, don't do that. Your values are going to be different. And then you're going to start missing church. And before you know it, you're going to be out there. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of time it is very easy to pivot, but sometimes we be so far and we feel so bad, it may be years before you come back to God. So I'm telling you, I ain't telling you what to do. I'm saying be careful. So what does it look like when your family is practicing their faith in there? What does it look like in your house? Tell me, give me one or two things from your house. What do y'all do as y'all practice y'all faith? And 20 seconds or less.
Everything we do here, we do at home. Praise and worship.
Give prayer. Them an example. One or two examples.
We discuss biblical principles.
That's one. What do y'all do?
When we have like kids. heated discussions, the way that we communicate and the way that we leave it.
I got that down. I'm going to deal with that. Somebody else.
We pray and then we reconcile quickly.
Amen. So let me, anybody else? Right? Because if you're not doing the basics of things, you're not doing it challenging things. So like a lot of these things are like basic that as a saved man, I don't cuss in front of my wife. I don't cuss my wife. If she's trying to live saved, you know, I know we had bad habits before we got saved. I don't try to get her to compromise in those areas. I know her trigger points. I know I know a lot of her junk. When I get mad, things that she's told me in confidant, I don't pull that out as a weapon to belittle her because maybe she has been used by God to convict me of something silly or sinister. See, and we're going to deal with that. But the basis of things is like prayer and communication. We're going to hit some of them and forgiving each other and protecting each other. So let's just go through some of this stuff, and I'm going to show you what the Bible talks about, what it looks like.
Let me say this.
Go ahead, baby.
When you're in your discussions or you're in your heat of discussions, or if something just abnormal happens throughout the course of the day, say he may have said or acted some kind of way, I will bring it to his attention. I don't like the way you said X, Y, and Z. I don't like the way you were acting when whoever was over. And it's okay to bring that to their attention, to let them know how you're feeling, because I want you to know how I felt when you did that. Now, you may get some backlash. I didn't, da, 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 da. I didn't, da, 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 da. But at least you said it. You that don't have to go into an argument because you made that statement. At least he heard you say how you feel about it. It may cause him to come back at you with something, but does it make it any sense for you to go back with him at it? You heard what I said. And I meant I don't like it. Don't do it again.
Why are you pointing at me?
And with that being said, I'm going to walk away. I'm done with the conversation. Now, if he comes back and bring it back up, the tone has to be different in order for me to apply. Don't come. I gave you my feelings. I don't want to hear your wrath. But if he comes back in a tender moment and we're talking about it and his conduct is different, then we can talk about it. But if he's still going at me like a bulldog, I'm not talking about it. I'm not talking about it. We're not going to argue because I'm telling you my feelings and vice versa. We got two comments.
So let me say this first. She just pointed because I'm standing up here. That's the first thing. But let me tell you this. I don't defend my wrong. Truth of it is I never have. And that she will tell you. Are there times where there's a different perspective? Yeah, and I'll explain it if I feel like it's wrong. But I'm not one of them guys, saved or unsaved. I was never that guy, and I'm still not that guy, to posture myself to defend something that I unequivocally already know is wrong. See, a lot of people, they have these brain cramps. I call them brain cramps, where they can't remember what they did and said. I know exactly what I did. I've had God convict me of sins that I've done years ago. I knew the time. I knew the place. I could tell you what I was wearing. I could tell you who I was with. I could tell you where. I could tell you all the details. Because I ain't that person dude. I don't want to get too far ahead. So let me go through some stuff real quick. Questions, comments. Give me the microphone. Go ahead.
When Co-Pastor was mentioning that what I typically do is I try to err on the side of peace because I didn't always used to be that way. I used to fight with my fist. And so I err on the side of peace because that gives time for God to convict him, and that gives me time to not act out in anger. And by me being quiet, 5-10 minutes later, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that. So sometimes it's even good for us to just not say anything at all when it happens and allow God to do the work.
And I'll tell you the area where I do have a problem with that is I cannot stand to be falsely accused. I'm telling you, even to this day, it takes a lot. And I have to really be conscious. I'm telling you this because I still work on that. Vengeance Dugan.
What Co-Pastor was saying reminded me of the communication that my husband and I are trying to build and acknowledging the way that he loves me. So yesterday he had a shirt made for me. And although I received it, opened it and everything, and he even asked me the day before, did I receive it? Yesterday, I forgot to acknowledge that I received it. And he ended up asking, he's like, well, did you get the shirt? Now, mind you, we in the middle of our meeting. He's like, did you get the shirt? And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, baby. He was like, y'all know Dugan. He was like, did it. But I realized that he needed that acknowledgement because he put effort into that. And that's the way that he shows love. And that's also a form of communication in our marriage as well.
Amen. Did it fit?
Oh, it fit well. Amen. But I had to acknowledge that, though. And I also had to let him know that not only am I acknowledging it, I'm going to do something about it and make sure that I respond and course correct it.
Because Co-Pastor won't wear nothing I buy. Yeah. So these are some things you can practice. And I think it'll help. Number one is like selfless love. Right? You see what he did? He's showing love. But like that selfless love is love that is sacrificial. Do you know why I retired from the military? I could have kept going. I was going to make Sergeant Major. I could have did 30. And then if I kept going up, depending on from division to corps to wherever, I could have done way more than that. And I would have made it. I had to rush out because I knew they was going to give it to me. And I didn't want it. But I retired from the military because I was a family guy. Well before I met my wife. So, you know, my mom was still alive during that time. And now I got a family. And I'm getting out of the military because I deploy. They left people in the rear. I didn't know all this then. I knew they were leaving the people. They left people in the rear that was my job and took me. And as I'm flying over the hospital, my wife is delivering. And they had no issues. Now, I later realized that you only leave duds in the rear. You know what a dud is? You shoot the round and the round don't go off, so it ain't effective, so everybody throw it away. You only leave them people in the rear. You don't leave quality in the rear when you deploy. You got to take them. So everybody act like they didn't know what's happening. So I'm hot. Then a 38, I'm getting out. And they was recording. Because I hated it. Watch this, Sister Jasmine. But it was sacrificial love because I got a wife and kids. I don't understand these guys who will not work and they got a wife and kid. And they talking about they love them. I don't understand that. And so even though, and matter of fact, when I got back, I deployed like 3 times in this place. I'm thinking I must have been out of my mind to do this. It was God letting me hear her heart to put that out for me to selfishly serve my spouse and my children. You see? And so what selfless love looks like is, and it's got to be mutual. It should be a reciprocal. He shouldn't be, or she shouldn't be, the only one sacrificing. So like when we had small kids, I didn't get up in the middle of the night. I got to go to PT. You don't want to send me out there messing with no soldiers and I got weapons and you, no, I'm just kidding. But I got PT in the morning. She got up. Not one time did she ever say, you can get up and help too. No, she going to be at home all day. Say selfless love. Now she don't get up. She turned that fan on, turn it up high so she can't hear nothing. Bae. And just give me the old rollover backhand. I get on up. You see what I'm saying? So if you got sacrificial love, that's how you should begin. If you do your best to outserve each other, it's no way that partner can be unhappy. If it's reciprocal and you know they're doing it. You see? Ephesians 5:25, put that up there. And then I'm going to go to Ephesians 5:33. You got anything, baby? The second thing, I'm going to read number 5:25 first. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. That's sacrificing. And he gave himself for it. Go down to 33. Let me go back to we'll go back to 26, that he might sanctify it. You know, a lot of time, go back to 26, that he might sanctify. I know he's talking about holiness and cleansing it, but a lot of times we don't see the change in our partner because we won't sacrifice anything. And then we start off, we lead in with our list of requests. Okay? So you want to, number two, show respect and show honor. Right? The more your spouse trusts you and the greater your partnership is, the greater you'll see honor. The more they trust you. Now, I put that out there like that. Trust and partnership will create honor. Everybody say that. Trust and partnership. Because here's the truth. Anytime over the years, and I have counseled a lot of people, not just in this church, other church, other churches, military. When I hear spouses say my partner doesn't or my spouse doesn't honor me, in many cases it's because somehow they broken trust with that person. Amen, oh my. Somehow we have done something that caused mistrust. See, because let me just say this, because we're talking grown folks, right? All adultery ain't physical. If my wife is telling some other man intimate things that she hasn't told me, she's cheating. If I'm talking to you about things that I have never shared with my wife, I'm cheating on her. Let me unpack it a little bit. Because I'll deal with that later, all right? But somehow that trust has been broken, and you got to restore. I'll deal with that with, like, intimate stuff. I don't want to waste no time on tonight, but you want to hear it. The third thing you want to do is that you want to share in their goals. You want to share in their life, right? Why is sharing the goals important? Why is it important that my wife be a part of my goals? There's a couple reasons, but why is it important that your husband be involved in what you're doing? Because I know from the 70s on up, everybody, it's like this independence when it comes down to women's lib. Hold on. Because they didn't raise their hand. Hold on. Hold on. But that don't give you to just run amok and you got a husband now. He don't get to just pick any job or change a job that just snatches our family out of one place and our kids, and you ain't even discussed it with her. You don't get to do that. So back to the original question. Go ahead, Brother Sims. The combined purpose, where he get that from? Where you get that from? He gives Adam a mate suitable. Adam had a job. God never gave Eve a job. I'm going to let you chill on that for a minute. If you sit by your wife, tell her, don't quit your job. Say, you know, we need that money. Don't quit that job. But God didn't give Adam, he didn't give Eve a job. A lot of it, women's lib, and men not handling their business forced a lot of women into the workplace. So now they have children and they almost got to choose. And even if they choose to stay at home economically, he ain't providing enough for her to stay at home. That's not no put down. The point being, brother, if your woman is helping you and you know she's bringing in half when you should be bringing in all, that's self-sacrifice and you should be saying thank you. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Turn to me if your wife working to say thank you. Thank you. You can kiss me later. She was his mate suitable for his goal. See, a lot of y'all are missing it because you, in your mind, you together just to procreate, and it's not. Something spiritual and naturally God has put y'all together to accomplish and solve. Common union. To get something that he wants birthed in the earth done through you. But if you go to 1 Peter 3, if you doing your own thing and he doing his own thing and you talking about, if you don't help me, I just do it myself. Well, you go and do your thing and I do my thing. What is that? It's division. And Jesus said this, a house divided, it ain't going to stand. It ain't if it's going to separate. It's only when. Because you're not aligned with anything. Now, it starts spiritual, but not, so, say spiritual goals. You should have spiritual goals as well. That means you're seeking God. You need natural goals. You need personal some things, but they still need to be a part of it. Right? But in 1 Peter 3, you got something, baby?
I do.
Go ahead.
As he was talking, I was thinking, don't expect your spouse to do anything that you're not willing to do. Mm-hmm. And will we go down that road where I want you to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But when it flips over and they say, well, I want you, and I'm not doing that. No. Don't expect your spouse to do something that you're not willing to do.
So what I want to see is that this why, like, if you say, well, I'll just go my own way. You go your way, you do your, I ain't going to help you. Husbands, in this ways, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Not that they weaker. You treat her as a delicate, precious person. But she's not weaker than you. And as heirs, so this is the part, as heirs with you in the precious gift of life, so that nothing hinders your prayers. People always said, I've always heard that taught that the man's prayer is hindered. But if she yoked with me and we praying, her prayer is hindered too. I ain't yoked with no other man. Hallelujah. I'm only yoked with her. So even if it was lopsided, because I'm covering her, she's praying for me, but I'm covering her, what now was just about me is now impacting her. And there's a grace for whatever you're doing as far as your occupation that's linked to your spouse. And the minute that you abort them, you can potentially change your trajectory. Because I know in this generation, we have, I've heard people say, I could do better. It's not about doing better. It's about getting what God gave you to work.
Now, do understand in the midst of that, that's everything going right.
Yep.
There's no biblical guidelines of divorce. Because there are biblical guidelines that you have to know and understand that a spouse is not doing that can cause divorce and separation. But if those are not taking place, then apply this. But if that is taking place, then seek the Father and get the directions that you need to do to make an exit escape.
And we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that divorce and marriage too.
Yeah.
Because some of you got that question and you may or may not have no grounds.
There are some grounds.
There are some grounds. Yeah. But how many know it's just easier to believe God? Divorce is like death. I'm telling you. Yeah, and I'll explain that later. So you want to share in the goals. And where I get that from is Genesis 2:24. You can bond over common goals as you're talking to each other. You're exchanging of soul and spirit with that person. Now, I'm going to get to something in a minute, but I'm just going to say it because it's right on my cuff. A lot of you feel distant from your partner because y'all are not talking. You pick the kids up? Yeah. You pay the bills?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did the cans, trash cans get pulled out? Yeah. But y'all ain't connecting over nothing. You're not talking about nothing. You're not talking about nothing, so you feel distant.
So let me say this.
Hold on for a second. And shame on you, brother, if you're sitting around playing a video game for 4 hours and your wife is in the house and you ain't talking to her. Shame on you. Do you know what that is called? Neglect. That is spiritual and emotional. Everybody say neglect. And where you don't think she got nothing rich to say, Johnny is saying, girl, I think that's rich, girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You say your car, you didn't have no gas money? Girl, here, take my card. Take this. Not my black card, but take. Don't look at nobody, say, don't let Jody get your woman. While you up there playing some video game, Jody done got your girl and gone. And then you want to beat Jody up. And Jody was like, no, bruh. Go ahead, I'm sorry. My wife, don't be looking at me like that, girl.
So with that comment, an example is we're at home together all day together. And he's normally in his office doing, you know, things that he do on the computer. And I don't bother him because I'll go through the house and I'm cleaning or whatever the case may be. But there are moments that I want his presence where I am. So if I'm sitting down, I will call him to come in there where I'm at 100 times. And he'll say no, and I'll say nothing. Then all of a sudden, here he comes. I need you to sit down and socialize with me right now. Get off the computer. So you got to invite and make a day enjoyable just spending time together. And then there's days that I know he needs to be in front of the computer doing what he's doing, so I leave him alone. Or I may go in his office and lay on the floor, and he'll turn around and he'll talk to me. You know, we're weird like that. But you got to make whatever works, works in order to get that longevity relationship.
She be flirting. Oh, Shakaron. Let me tell you something. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I had an instance. It was two instances. We're talking about the partnership piece. I remember I wanted to be. Remember when I wanted to be a chaplain, mm-hmm. And there was no peace in it. And the beautiful thing is that my husband was all on board. He was all on board. Then I was offered. I wanted to be in the double digits in the GS system years ago, and I got an opportunity. I'm trying to remember. It was somewhere forward deployed. It was either Kuwait or one of the FOBs. And I was automatically going to be in the double digits. And I remember, so the first time with the chaplain piece, my husband was like, you do it if you want to. But there wasn't no peace in that, right? There wasn't no partnership in it. And then with the other thing, but with me going, you know, just to get ahead in a position, my husband was like, no. He was like, if you decide to do it, I'll stand by you. But I knew there wouldn't be no peace in it. There was no true partnership in it. And I truly believe that if I would have signed up and did it, we would have made it work. But like you said, Jody gonna come. Somebody gonna come and get a foothold in our marriage and our relationship.
I never, you know, let me tell you all you women who want to stay home. I never told my wife she couldn't work. My wife loves to work. But I never liked it. Let's just go back to the military days. The only way she could pull it off is that in most cases, because childcare was outrageous, is that she got to do it when I get off. I don't know. You know, and she did. She has done it. When I retired, she was working at night, man, and weekends. When I come home, I want my woman at home. I ain't gonna. Well, just go hang out with the boys. I don't want to hang out with no boys. I'm not gay. I don't hang out with no boy. Go home to your woman, and I want my woman at home when I come home. And here's the thing. I never told her to quit. I have never told her to quit. But she could sense that I really didn't like it, and that's what she did. So she became a virtual woman, a virtuous woman. And my wife has made a lot of money using her own gifts and talents in the home to supplement income, because she knew I ain't telling nobody to quit, because you know y'all just got a new house. Let me just clear that up, because I can see it. I'm just all them thoughts is floating over your head. So Sam said, I caught that thing. Put it in my pocket. No, man. Any questions or comments? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So let me say this. Put Colossians 3:13 up there. You got anything, baby? You got to forgive quick. And we'll deal with this a little later. But you got to forgive quick when things happen. Forbearing one another. That means tolerating, putting up with one another. Have you ever put up with me? Yeah. Have I ever put up with some things of her? Yeah. All this, I can't take that. I ain't never thought like that. forbearing, meaning that I ain't looking for a reason to leave. I'm embracing reasons to stay. But I ain't looking for no reason to leave. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, that's the secret sauce. You got to stay in, forgive, in the remembrance that Christ forgave you. He wants you to do the same thing with other people. Now, I want to put this out like real quick because I think it's going to help some people. You got to forgive. You got to keep your heart open no matter what that person has done. Because just because you have a reason don't give you a right. Don't give you no right. And that is a hard spirit to swallow. You want to address it? Because I'm going to ask that question. Why is it hard to forgive in marriage? Be thinking about that. And I'm going to go around. I'm going to put the mic in your mouth. Why is it hard to forgive in marriage? But I wanted to say this because the Lord had me put it down here. A lot of marriages, Christian marriages, are deteriorating quickly. I'm talking about right here. I'm not preaching to the iPhone. I'm talking to, unless it's members on the other side of this. I'm talking to people right here. Their marriages are deteriorating because what's happened is they act like they done moved past. This is the way the Lord give it to me. You act like you have moved past certain things, but you still got unforgiveness there. I just told you that if you're not bonding over nothing, you can only bond if you're communicating. But it's like one-liners and one-word sentences, and then you wonder why you're pulling apart. Definitely like brothers, it's not really natural for a wife not to want to talk to her husband. If your wife's shutting down on you verbally, you got some serious issues. You got some serious problems. You probably don't need to even need to ask any questions. All you need to do is just think. Because you already got the answer. But you shut down, you don't talk, the marriage starts to deteriorate because you still got unforgiveness, but we act like we was past it. But you're not past it. I'm just pointing at it because she pointed at me. But you ain't past it. And what happens is, can you fight with no words? Pouting is fighting with no words. If he don't know, don't leave it to him to try to figure it out. You know your man. You know he ain't that sharp. You got to tell him. You got to write it, type it, email, text it, tattoo it, put it on the refrigerator, a lunchbox, because she ain't that swift. So you got to tell your man. You can't sit up and just keep saying, you figure it out. You figure it out. You figure it out. It's 3 weeks later. He ain't figured it out. Just tell the brother. Look at somebody say, tell the brother. Goodness gracious. You going to go another 5 years? If you go another 5 years and you got the answer and all you had to do was tell him, you the slow one. Should have just told him. We bind up that demon tonight. Is it a demon? Is it a demon? Put up Ephesians 4:26. Is it a demon? It sure is. Because there's no, based off the finished work of Christ, you have to almost, if you save, consistently bypass the Holy Spirit to walk in unforgiveness. And what has any type of influence, not the power, but the influence over a person to make them do that? Nothing but the devil.
It's kind of like that's your in-between. You're going with the way you want to be rather than the way you should be, because you're trying to make yourself feel good and you don't care about your spouse. And that cannot be a love connection. if you always want it your way. You always want things to go your way. And if you don't address and let the individual know after the first incident, then how do they know? Because 99% of the man, time, the man that already forget. And all you're doing is collecting receipts and collecting receipts. And you're getting harder and harder and harder. And they're trying to figure out, what in the world? What's wrong with you? If you immediately bring it to their attention and let them know what the problem is, it'll make life so much easier and so much smoother. And you may not get your right now answer, but you got to be clever in getting the answer that you need. Okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to look this thing up because, oh, he didn't understand the first time. Go back again.
Why are you pointing at me?
Go back again and change the conversation up a little bit, but it's still the same thing, and give him a different understanding of what you're trying to put out. And maybe he'll get it that time. And you'll be like, oh, Lord. Don't count it against him. Just count it that you just hit a home run. You hit a strike. Okay, let's move on to the next. Because they're going to be time after time. And what you came with the first time may not work the second time. But figure out what it is. You can't keep allowing it to just pile up and pile up and pile up. Because you're angry and you're mad and he's trying to figure out what is wrong with this woman. What is wrong? Some men even do it. What is wrong with this man? Why are they keep acting? Because they don't know what's wrong with you. Why you keep on acting like there's a problem? I thought we fixed it a lot. In their mind, ladies, it was fixed. In your mind,
you was over it.
Yeah, because you said, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. But you're not fine. I'm not fine. And I'm just let you know I'm not fine.
She gonna let you know.
You know, you can't keep doing that. You got to express yourself in order to not allow things to keep festering and festering and festering. We got to come in back.
I think for us, it was important to understand how we settle things, each of us, because my husband's very much like, oh, were you offended about that? I apologize. And then that's it. And then he won't think about it again. But I want to talk about it. I want to talk about why I was offended. I want to talk about it. And so I think for me, when you ask the question of why is it hard to forgive, when you're trying to keep the peace in the home, sometimes you could just be like, okay, well, if we keep in peace, we keep in peace. And we ain't going to talk about it. But if you know you haven't settled it and worked through it and have that communication so it doesn't happen again, then that can kind of still be there. And I think that's my answer. I wanted to answer before everybody else could overtake it. But
do you study your partner?
Yes.
Do you know what their trigger points are?
Yes.
Like if my wife is really exhausted, she gets really short.
Yes.
Do you know what I do? I go get in my own space. I ain't got no time for that. No, I'm kidding. I'm just playing, girl.
Maybe.
But when she get tired, I just give her room. Right? Let me help some of you brothers and you sisters. I cook clean. Only thing I don't do in my house, and it's not because I can't. She don't like the way I do it, so I just used it. I just keep using it. I don't wash clothes. I don't fold them because I know how to fold clothes. I was in the military. I make that thing look like a cinnamon roll. That's why she don't want me to fold them. Are you brothers learning anything tonight? I make that shirt look like a cinnamon roll. She like, don't touch it. Oh, I'm sorry. I do the inside. And the truth of it is, I got great organizational skills. So the truth of it is, I can systematically go through something like really, really quick because that's the way my brain functions. And it don't take me no time to do it. So I create time for her to not have to feel like she's some slave working for me. And it works for us. But I'm saying, you study your spouse. Don't try to make your man be like that because I do that. Like, I cook probably more than her. I like cooking. Obviously, I like cooking. I like eating. And I'm finicky about certain stuff, right? But if your man, you study them, do you know what your wife's trigger points are? Do you know when you, how your mannerisms can turn the thing? And then, because I'm pointing this out and I'm stuck right here for a reason, because when a person gets offended and they live in unforgiveness and then communication breaks down, then the physical attachments to things like money and goals, that's going to go down. And then physical intimacy, and I'm not going into all that tonight, I'll do it later, that's going to deteriorate. And I want to put this out. Intimacy between a husband and a wife ain't just to make babies and pleasure. According to 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 3 or 5, 3, you become, he said, when you lie with a harlot, you become one with them. It is the exact same thing with your husband or your wife. You become one with that person. Something spiritual happens. It ain't just some act. If it was just some act, then a person who'd been with like 50 people, and then they wonder why all their behaviors change. And they say, well, we don't even have that in our family. Why I'm dealing with that? Because he had it in his family. We don't deal with that in our family, but she had it in her family. We don't deal with that. Ain't nobody on your side of the family got that, because it's a spiritual transaction. Now the relationship is dilapidated. And you are, if you don't fix it, you are a prime candidate for the big bad wolf going to huff and puff, and he going to blow it down. Because it don't have no strength in it no more. But whatever demon is attacking you, after we finish this over the next few weeks, your marriage is going to be totally healed if you put the work in Jesus' name. If you put no work in, don't come with no long conversations, because I'm telling you how to do it. And that's 5 steps right there. I just don't have time to go into all tonight, but I will at one at a time go to them. So in Jesus' name. So why is it hard to forgive? Let me give you this. It could be that because I wish some of the brothers would hear me. Because can I just be transparent? Can I tell you what I sense? 2 people. I'm going to tell you anyway. A lot of your women are offended with you. And you're not in good shape. And you are not winning. I am pausing for effect. So you'll know I'm not picking on you. I'm telling you the God's honest truth, even you watching. And they are highly perturbed about something. If you had half the spiritual sense that I know you got, you would research this and try to figure out what it is. It's not the preacher's job to pray you together, nor talk your wife off a cliff. That is your job, Tarzan. See, what happens is we do no work. And then in the 23rd and a half hour, you come to somebody spiritual to try to fix it. Do you know most counselors, they not trying to fix you. They need you to keep coming. I'm trying to fix you and save you some little money. But if you're not putting no work in, or if they're telling you, snatch away from me. Pull away from me. Seem funny, don't it? You shouldn't ignore that. If you touch her and she's flinching, you shouldn't ignore that. And I ain't talking about for no here, do there. I'm just talking about just a touch. And if they do, they give you the old wet, dead fish. kiss me like you kiss Charles Manson. Sometimes my wife, she'd be like, I like, you could kiss Charles Manson like that. You my one. I mean, what? You can go kiss the neighbor like that. I won't get offended. Don't do it. So here's the point. It's hard to forgive because challenges, you can have challenge, you can have these expectations about that person and about your marriage. Sometimes we think our marriage is impenetrable. We don't think the devil can get in. And we don't think a person can be attacked and make mistakes. And you say, I can't believe you did that. I don't know why you say you can't believe I did that. I'm human just like you. You knew I wasn't submitting to the devil. You ain't seen me pray in forever. I don't even know where my Bible at. I'm missing church all the time. I'm playing video games 5 hours a day. Why are you shocked? Why are you shocked? Because I'm saying this to the woman. You're witnessing the behavior, and you're not even interjecting or bringing them back to some attention to say, hey, I ain't seen you pray. Come on, let's pray. I ain't seen you read. Let's read. I ain't seen you do this. You're missing church a lot. What's going on? Anything that's not submitted to God, if it's born again, is eventually going to fall back into old habits and old behaviors. So why are you shocked? So we have these faulty expectations, but we ain't putting no work in. Well, you can't have no marriage like Shamika and Leroy because they doing what they need to do. But y'all not. Shamika was upset. She didn't even go off on Leroy. And she just kind of got up and left the room. Excuse me. She didn't throw no plate. She didn't do nothing. She just told the company, excuse me, y'all. And he could see that Shamika's upset. And he said, excuse me, I'll be right back. And he went to go see what Shamika was doing. I told you what was going on with me, and you went off. You said I was personally attacking you. You felt something is wrong with you when you offended because you offended somebody. And they brought it up to you that you offended me. Now you offended. I'm thinking I'm going to get you a counselor tomorrow. Because this ain't making no sense. Till we get you a shot or something. Say, no marriage is perfect. Then there's the vulnerable. It's hard to forgive because there has to be a certain level of vulnerability in marriage, right? Do you know you can't love somebody unless you're vulnerable? This is for like church people and marriage people. A lot of people can't love you because you won't let them love you. You won't drop your guard. And in marriage, you have to have a certain level of vulnerability, meaning that there is a possibility that you can get hurt, but you're taking the risk because I love you and I don't believe you'll do it. But don't come totally unglued if they do, because they're human. And if they're not submitted to God and you witnessed that, then you knew that this could possibly happen. If their behavior is not consistent with a born-again man or a born-again woman, why are you tripping? Because you knew what that looked like and you kept ignoring it. So there has to be, say, vulnerability. There has to be a certain level of vulnerability in that marriage, right? And when you're vulnerable to a person and they hurt you, it magnifies the impact. It magnifies the impact of them hurting you, right? So if you ever heard somebody say, it sit different when it's you? It sits deeper. It feels deeper. Sometimes than the same person you just counseled, it feels deeper when it's you. See, because a lot of the issues that we be talking about, we be done counseled other people about. But it feels deeper, and the cut is deeper in many cases because I was so vulnerable to you. There was nothing resisting it. If it's somebody on the street, I know to put up a certain level of resistance, but you're my wife. You're my husband. I would never, and so it goes deeper because they weren't even guarded against you. And you got to be careful. But even if that happened, I pray God begin to heal the hurt in that relationship, because if you don't ask God to help you heal, the devil will keep exploiting that for the next 50 years until y'all divorced, or till somebody do something bad to the other person, or pay somebody back for something. Tit for tat. You did that to me, I'm going to do this to you. I will deal with this later. But the impact is totally different depending on what happened and the gender. Give her the mic. Cut her on.
Hello? Okay, so I just wanted to say that to me, vulnerability feels like leaving your face open for Mike Tyson to hit it. That's how hurtful it is for me.
Right. But the difference is this. Because we're going to approach it from the angle of merit. If she got to protect her face from me getting, because I do hit like Mike Tyson. Just in case anybody got any ideas. And you looking at my woman. But what was I telling you to say? If you're getting hit in the face by Mike Tyson in a marriage, he hit you before y'all got married. See. He did that before. The reason why it's different in marriage, because this never happened. So a person, here's the reality of it. I shouldn't be in a relationship, Sister Kim, if I feel like I got to guard myself from you. Even if you're in a relationship right now. If you got to guard yourself from him beating you up, you shouldn't be in that relationship. If he ain't going to get no help. And that's physical, emotional, or spiritual. See. But if you select it, I'm not going to give no advice on that. You know what I mean? I'm simply saying that you shouldn't have to do that. Because the impact is going to be different. And you have to get God involved in those areas through some form of repentance, some remorse, some exhibited remorse, repentance, and change. See, because a lot of times we keep going through the repeat, the rinse, repeat, wash cycle is because we settled with them just confessing it to us. But there's been no remorse, there's been no repentance, there's been no change. So it keeps happening because all they keep doing is confessing it. I did it. I'm sorry. That ain't nothing. Go buy you something. That ain't nothing. Don't nobody want that. Trying to love up on you. I don't want to touch you. I don't want to be intimate with you. And how do you get past that? If that person changes, you got to change. Look this way. If they're changing and trying to, I ain't talking about one day and we back here again. I'm talking about they really putting forth effort. They're going to counseling. They're talking to their pastors. Listen, if you have marital problems and your partner is trying to keep you away from the pastor or the co-pastor for counseling, why? Look this way, please. Because somehow they feel like they're getting away with it spiritually. Do you know why we're having this? Because I already know what's happening, and I'm trying to help you. And because they feel like it's hidden, sister, brother, they're not going to change. When you have been overpowered spiritually, you cannot self-medicate yourself. You got to get somebody else in to help you solve that. And if you're ashamed to tell your pastors, find a pastor you can talk to. Find somebody that you're confident that can help you. But do not, you cannot love without being vulnerable to some degree. If I got to watch her every time she leaves the house, we can't be married. We just can't be married. Every time I turn around, you done blew through all the money. Listen. You ain't even got one more time. Because one more time means you're anticipating another time happening. You ain't got one more time to do this. And I'm going to tell everything. I didn't say divorce. I'm putting all our business in the street to whoever I think can help us. And if shaming you is what needs to happen to get you to even consider adjusting your behavior, that ain't my intent, but I am willing to do that because I'm trying to preserve this relationship. It's too much. But I ain't living like this no 30 years. I guarantee you I ain't living like this 30 years. 50 years. And then you get changed. You want to change when you 70-something because you know you can't get up and walk no more. And you know I got to pick up your medicine and you scared I'm on poison. So now you want to change. You should have changed 50 years ago. Take this. Don't do that. Don't get them. No, that ain't God. That ain't God. Hey, we got to get out of here. Go ahead, baby. We got to get out of here.
What a poison on day one.
Don't do it.
No. Listen.
She playing. Honestly. We playing right now. But honestly, I'm serious about all the other stuff. When you start hiding stuff and you're playing a role in church, man, your flag should go up and you should be screaming for somebody to help. To push us in the right direction. Ain't nobody perfect in here. Neither of us. If we told you everything and we are not, what we had to survive to get to this point, you would look at your relationships a whole lot different. We're not just preaching to you because we ain't lived through nothing and we ain't had no bunch of problems. And we was trying to be comical and put a little laughter in it. But I am so serious that we got to put practical work in. We have to practice our faith. Brothers, you got to pray with your families. You have to read the Bible together. You have to sit down and have conversations with your husband about goals, your wife about goals, your children about goals. You have to be so inwoven in the lives of each other. You have to do these things if you plan on being happy. If you want to just cohabitate with a person and be miserable your whole life and don't put no work in. And I feel sorry for people who you are willing to put in the work, but your spouse is not. I really feel bad for you. And you can still get it done. I've seen people pray their husbands out of adulterous relationships, out of clubs. They prayed them out of addictions. I'm talking about, and I ain't talking about no marijuana addiction. I'm talking about some you need to get some demons cast out, this joker delivered. I've seen people survive physical abuse in marriage and never did it again. So there is hope for you. You still got to put in, if you want to keep them, if one be saved, the whole household is saved. The whole house is sanctified, not saved. Meaning there are some things that won't even happen to that man or that woman because you're there. God will protect them. He'll honor your prayer. Say, God will honor my prayers. But don't go into this silence. I'm going to pick right back up there next week, and we're going to be talking about talking, right? Because if you don't, when you get hurt and when you get offended in a relationship, if you don't talk, you will sour. You'll become bitter. You'll become so unhappy. And it is the worst feeling to be in something that I could have got healed of, or we could have got healed of, or we could have worked on. So what would my advice be to a husband or a wife, and the husband saved and the wife is not saved? The wife is saved and the husband is not saved. I will talk to them, but most of the time you can get a secular counselor, because he's just going to deal, or she's just going to deal with the facts. What are they trying to reach? They're not really trying to penetrate their spirit. They're trying to change their mind. They soul doctors. And you get with a soul doctor, and if that's the only level he'll let a person touch, or she'll let them touch, if they're willing to, find a person that can counsel and dig deep to figure out where it come from. And never accept the person mistreating you like you are the problem, especially if they showed up like that. They got deep-seated stuff that go to their mom and daddy house and their uncle's house. And letting little boys stay with grown men house. And letting little girls be places that they should not have been. It goes way deeper than your consecration at the altar. But you talk to people, everybody come from these little perfect families, and they ain't nothing but liars. You know exactly how your daddy was. You know how his daddy was. You know how your mama really was. You know how his mama was. And we be trying to pass them off like they was the way they are in their 70s when they was in their 40s and 30s and 20s, and they were nothing like that. They were some barracudas. And you witnessed that, and you became a barracuda too. Because you learn a lot of stuff ain't passed through the blood. It's learned behavior. You saw how that controlled your father. You saw how your father controlled your mom. And now you're trying to do your wife like that. But now you got the hope of glory in your heart. You got to tap into Jesus. Say tap into Jesus three times. You got to tap into Jesus. You got to tap into Jesus. You can't be a fool because your daddy was a fool. Are y'all going to come back next week? Come on, let's go. Go, baby. I'm sorry.
He done talked it out. I got a lot to say, but I'm going to leave it for next week. Amen. But I do want you to go home tonight and think about your spouse. And if you're single, think about what you expect and learn the. Do you know your spouse's 5 love languages? Amen. And if you do, are you practicing them? So that may be a conversation that y'all can have. Like, my husband is touch, 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 touch. I hate it, hate it, hate it. But I've learned over the years to deal with it. Amen? So know what it is, and that'll help all by itself. But I got so much going on in my head that I'm just going to write it down, and we'll talk about it.
Your homework is this. As a husband and a wife, you will, and this is going to be every week until we finish with marriage. You're going to read through Songs of Solomon twice before next Bible study.
1 week.
You're going to read through that twice as a couple. And then you show up. And we're going to do that every week until we finish with marriage. Single people, don't disqualify yourself from matrimony because you think we're just talking to married folks. A lot of times, married folks who got married wouldn't qualify because they were single and nobody taught them nothing. And then they got married and broke everything. So if you want somebody, get prepared for them. Learn how to be a godly man or a godly woman. If you ain't learning how to be a godly man or a godly woman, you ain't qualified for nobody. All right? So what's your homework? My wife like, My wife like, let him out. No. No, I ain't letting him. No, come on, let's go.
No, twice and then learn your love language. Amen. Question we had before we end, and I'm just going to make a statement rather than saying the question. If you're in a heated argument and you're in a public setting, how many of us have ever been anywhere in public and have heard that parent yell at that child? How degrading and disrespectful that is. And you'd be like, why are they yelling at that child like that in public? Amen. If it's degrading to do it to a child, how do you think your spouse feels when you're doing it in a public setting like that? They're not your child.
It shouldn't be nowhere.
It shouldn't be anywhere, but it should not be in the eyes and the public. That's not a union. That's not communication. That's you thinking you're the upper hand and you're my child and you're going to do what I tell you to do. And this is how you're going to do it. That's not a marriage. We don't get to talk to our spouses like that. Marriage is not disrespectful. Amen. Marriage is communicating. And if there's something was to take place, everybody don't act the same. But it doesn't mean that you got to show off in front of somebody just to get your point across. I've learned through the years, when you do that, you think you're the big bad, and you made yourself to be the nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you can do that in front of everybody, what are you doing behind closed doors?
Sure.
So pay attention to that and know that your spouse is just as important as you are. It's like the Incredible Hulk going into a kindergarten class and yelling at the whole entire class. Everybody gonna start crying and be afraid. Don't be that person. Learn how, especially if you're a man and woman of God, and you say that you're saved and you love Jesus Christ. That is not. You know, we used to walk around with them WWJD. What would Jesus do? I mean, bring it to your head. I've come to that conclusion on many occasions. You know, children get to showing out in the thing. And we was at the dentist today, and I said, we don't do that in public. I'm going to need you to sit down, and I'm going to need you to do this. And that was the soft voice. Next, I'm kneeling down in your face. But we can't do that with our spouses. If something happens that we don't like, just go sit in the car. Walk away. Go sit in the car. Go do your shopping or whatever you got to do. And then once you get home, handle it. But remember, if you have children, your children are watching you. And they are your example. Every kid tells the daycare teacher everything that's going on in your home. The kindergarten teacher, I mean, they talking from head to toe about everything. Believe me, I know. I've been a teacher. So pay attention. And they're living you outside of your home.
Let's close. Don't throw your marriage out before you let God handle it. Okay? Don't do that. Father, bless your people. Keep your people. As we go through these teachings, let healing happen in the heart. Let them things that need to be lifted and surfaced in our hearts, let it come to the top, that we may scrape it off, throw it in the trash, start fresh, start anew. We know you to be the God who can do the impossible. And even as many under the sound of my voice are facing some impossible, seemingly impossible situations that will not turn around, prove that you are the can-do God to your people. Prove to them that you can do it, that you can fix it, that you can heal. They love their partner. Father, they're exhausted. Give them strength to go forward. Give them the strength and the courage to fight. We pray for spiritual impartation into your relationship. Grab your husband or your wife by the hand. I pray for spiritual impartation in your life, that the grace of God, that the healing of God, that the power of God will begin to flow through you. Healing. Let the balm and Gilead begin to heal, God. Let it begin to renew. They love their partners, God. We've made mistakes, God. Show that you are the can-do God and you can pull it all back together. We believe in your word, we believe that you can. And if we can't, strengthen the places that we're weak. And I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ as you leave this place tonight. May the healing begin now in Jesus' name.